Hi, everybody. Welcome back. It is, of course, the 5 o'clock hour here on the Tuesday edition of the Pat Miller Program. And as I look at my all-important Pat Miller Program sheet layout for today, I see that this is the time when we go to the nation's capital and they're inside the Beltway. He is the Real Clear Politics spokesperson covering the White House and all things around for Real Clear Politics, Philip Wegman. Philip, good afternoon to you, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me, Pat.
Thanks for being on. So my understanding, and this is coming at as no shock to me, that you and some of your fellow journalists, this has been a very busy business cycle for you all there trying to cover the beat.
Yeah, to say the least. I think that it's been interesting because the previous administration, when Donald Trump was inaugurated, a lot of newsrooms had to ask, some questions about who is going to be senior, about who is going to cover this president. And it was interesting because earlier on during the Republican primary, you had a number of outlets who didn't take Trump seriously. So they kicked the younger reporters onto the Trump beat. And then when he became president, you had a lot of younger reporters going to cover the White House. The same sort of thing has happened with Biden. But obviously, Biden was seen as more of a heavy hitter during the Democratic primary, and you had more senior reporters who were covering him, and they have sort of filtered their way into the White House press briefing room now.
Yeah. So now, were you on that tag because you were among the younger, or are you on that tag now because you're one of the most revered?
I think that the fact that I get to cover the White House is evidence of the very low barriers to entry in journalism.
You got to be kinder to yourself than that. Come on. I have always been a real follower of all things heritage, and I know that the head of that, K. Cole James, has been that for some time now. I think she became the head of Heritage, what, in 2017, I think, and now she announced earlier this year, March, April, that she, in fact, was resigning as president, basically time for her to move on. But she was the first African-American and the first woman to hold that position. I haven't heard about that lauding of her, probably because Heritage is a very conservative angle in our land of politics, and I don't think the ABCs, NBCs of this world made great copy out of the fact that she was the first black woman to hold that position.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate because here you have K. Cole James, who was an alumni of the Reagan administration. If memory serves, she was the one who headed up the Office of Personnel Management, essentially the HR department,
right,
of the previous, of that administration. And then she goes to the Heritage Foundation after Jim DeMint, the former senator from South Carolina, is ousted there. And why should you care about a nonprofit in Washington, D.C. That is full of a bunch of policy nerds and occasionally has decent parties? Well, the reason why you should care is that the Heritage Foundation is a sort of think tank and also a bench for any Republican administration that comes into office. What they do is they do all of these white papers. They employ a bunch of whip smart policy staffers. And then when Republicans take back the White House, essentially they draft from the Heritage Foundation. They take their ideas. They take their people. And during the Trump administration, look, Donald Trump, even his allies will say, look, the guy has good instincts. But Donald Trump was not seen as someone who really got the ins and outs of a lot of different policies. And so he leaned on the Heritage Foundation to crib from their ideas. And so they're a massively influential organization, even if, it might seem sort of like, boring Beltway gossip.
Yeah. I will be the first to be candidly honest with you that I lean on the Heritage quite a bit, sometimes for content or just even realms of thinking on this program. other than at times when I lean on real clear politics. That, of course, is my go-to, and the check is in the mail. But they have now, in that she announced back in March that she was leaving. I know Heritage had been working a lot, as you say in one of your recent pieces, behind closed doors, trying to decide who was going to lead this prestigious, very conservative group, and they have come up with a name.
They have. And the reason why this matters also is that Donald Trump essentially challenged a bunch of Republican orthodoxies, whether it was saying that free trade is not always a good thing in and of itself, whether it was saying that immigration needs to be restricted severely, or, you know, the new path that he blazed on foreign policy. He sort of laid out a new path, and you have a bunch of conservatives, you know, here in D.C. trying to reconcile what they see as, you know, the very good policy initiatives that he created, and then also some of the excesses of the populism that came along with him. That's going to be the job of the Heritage Foundation. And now they've got a new president, this guy, Kevin Roberts, out of Texas, who is not a D.C. player. He's not a Beltway operator. Instead, he is a academic who got his Ph.D. in American history. And this guy, as we prepare to see what's going to happen in 2022 and 2024, he's going to be the one who is steering these discussions about what it is and isn't to be a conservative.
Well, in the article where you talk about him, and I did read your article, thank you for that, where he has been named to be the new leader of Heritage, which is, wouldn't you say, as far as conservatives, it's probably one of the top five or six prestigious positions to hold?
Yeah, and this is interesting because when you look at Democratic administrations, sure, there are liberal think tanks in Washington, D.C. that they draw from, but when they are staffing up and when they are looking for ideas to implement, oftentimes you see Democratic administrations rely on the academy, whether it's, you know, folks who take a sabbatical from Harvard or Yale or some other Ivy League institution. On the right, there traditionally isn't a lot of that infrastructure. And so that increases the prominence of Heritage, where some of these conservative scholars can take shelter and do their work. There's other organizations like Cato, like the American Enterprise Institute, but Heritage, they like to think of themselves as the mothership because they've been around for a long time.
Right.
And, you know, love them or hate them, they're going to be the ones who are sort of moderating these debates behind the scenes as Republicans try to get out of the electoral wilderness and try and get back in power.
Well, when he is described, I know he is being described, as you say, as a cowboy Catholic. He's got this doctorate in American history. But then you go on to say he's not a seasoned political operator by the standards that people hold inside the Beltway. And you're saying that's probably by design.
Yeah. And Heritage got burnt. There's no way to get around this. Ed Fulmer, he started it in the 80s. And he was a Reagan ally. Then he turned it over to Senator Jim DeMint. And DeMint essentially walked over from the Senate and took over control of the Heritage Foundation. What happens when you've got a politician who's in charge of a think tank?
Uh-huh.
Well, they don't necessarily focus a lot on research and scholarship. They focus a lot on, you know, politics.
Yeah, well, and emotional persuasions.
Absolutely. And DeMint, when he was there at that organization, he got Heritage much more involved in fights on the Hill. He got Heritage much more involved in fights between Republican leadership, guys like Paul Ryan and John Boehner, and then conservatives. And that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. People were saying, wait a minute, this is a think tank. They're not supposed to be a bunch of political knife fighters. And so eventually the Heritage board, they said goodbye to DeMint. But in doing so, they sort of, unwittingly allowed this power vacuum to erupt at that organization. And in 2017, you had all of D.C., because it's an influential organization, looking at Heritage and saying, who's in control? You had the lobbying arm, Heritage Action, and its leaders at the time fighting with the outgoing Heritage Foundation leaders, and it was a really ugly bloodletting. But that hasn't this time. Instead, the foundation, they're going with an academic who, you know, certainly supports Heritage's lobbying efforts on Capitol Hill, but is going to focus specifically on research.
Do you think that knowing Ms. James, because she has been, Kay James has been, I think, a perfect fit in that even though she was Black and a female, she never really seemed, at least from the things I read from her, she never really seemed to lean on that. Like, you need to listen to me and follow me because, after all, I'm a Black female. She always led with her brain and trying to read where it was that Heritage should be based on the body conservative and not just on her own persuasions, which is different from DeMint. And I'm wondering if you're having any thought. I know very little about the gentleman from Texas who's going to take the reins now there at the Institute. Mr. Roberts is not inside my scope of knowledge. Do you think that this is going to be much like her, or do you think this will be DeMint, or is this going to be somewhere in the middle or nowhere close to either one of them?
Time will tell, and a lot of people are trying to figure that out. A lot of people who perhaps have their own White House ambitions are trying to figure that out, because Heritage serves as a sort of intermediary also for a lot of super wealthy conservative donors who are saying to themselves, who am I going to back in 2024? Who actually, you know, has the conservative credentials to win this thing and then to govern the way that I like? And so it remains to be seen, you know, what Kevin Roberts is going to do in his tenure. But, you know, the reaction to It's My Story seems positive. People seem to like the guy. They're going to get to know him because Heritage is a power player here in town, and he's at the wheel.
I don't know how to word this. Do liberals have an appreciation for Heritage? And I don't mean that they appreciate their positions, but do they appreciate the way Kay James has led the group, and they view them truly as a think tank and not as a bunch of just out-of-control conservatives?
There used to be appreciation for the Heritage Foundation and for some of these think tanks as just scholarly institutions. I think that in the last couple of years, what we've seen, though, is that the left and the right will say, okay, here's policy problem X. Well, we have our preferred policy solutions for X on the liberal side from, say, Brookings or the Center for American Progress. And then Republicans will say, well, we have our preferred set of policy solutions from a Heritage. I don't know if they necessarily will take each other's policy seriously, but there's a respect in terms of just, you know, sheer political power.
If I give you a question, can you give me a 60-second answer?
Sure.
Okay. The defense secretary back under Obama and Bush, Robert Gates, came out and he says that when it came to China, Trump actually got it right for the most part, and that he basically awakened Americans to how bad China was and could be. Is that an accepted view now on the Capitol Hill, or is that just somebody wishing that was their view?
That's another example of one of the sort of policy innovations that Trump pushed, because Republicans certainly didn't believe that previous to 2016. Their base did, but Republican politicians did not. I think that Trump succeeded in raising the alarm. And if you look at the sentiment coming from the national security advisors, if you look at what Jake Sullivan and others are saying in the Biden administration, they certainly seem to be aware that China is not just a, you know, trading partner, but that China is actually a competitor. And I think that the Biden administration is trying to crack that nut.
Well, they are a competitor on the sales floor with the propensity that it could be much worse. They might be a competitor on a battlefield someday. That's some view of China. Hey, you did it in under 60 seconds. I'm quite proud of you. From Real Clear Politics, their inside reporter there at the White House. And we always appreciate when we have Philip Wegman on. Philip, thanks for today, my friend.
Anytime. Thank you, Pat.
Podcasts by Federated Media.